And he was willing to put up with all the junk going on in the lives of broken human beings. He was willing to do that for the sake of what? Relationship.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
So why are relationships so important? Look at Matthew 16, 13, 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And then he asked him, "Okay, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is?" Jesus replied, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Do you hear all the relationship statements that are being made there? You are the Messiah. You are the Son, relationship, of the living God. How you see Jesus impacts your eternity. How do you see him? What is your relationship like with Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter if you know who he was. Satan knows who he is. Satan can quote scripture. Satan comes to church. If you don't believe so, you ought to be in some of the counseling sessions I'm in. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't even mind you going to church. He'll give you a ride, especially if you're divisive. But it's what do you say about who Jesus is? What do you do about the truth of the Word of God? I can quote scripture all day long. Good, but do you live what you quote? What is your relationship? Jesus is the Word. What is your relationship to the Word? I'll give you a good indication. When your relationship is right with the head, your relationship is right with the body. If you can only find faults in the body, chances are the problem is with the head. I said, if you can only find faults in the body, chances are the problem is the relationship with the head. When you get things right this way, then all the things work this way. When I ask a guy how he's doing, they always say the same thing. "I'm doing great." Liars. You know they're liars. Guys, you know you're liars. And so then I go and ask the wife. Or I just do this. I've learned to study micro expressions. You know what those are? When you first say something to somebody, for a millionth of a second, they will make the real expression that they're feeling, and then they'll slap on the smile that they use the rest of the time. So I ask them, "How are you doing?" The guys go, "Great." I just glance over and look at the wife's face and see if she goes, like a total shock and dismay, followed by, "Yes, he is doing great." Because the evidence of how you're doing in the Lord and the evidence of how your relationship, or how are the relationships around you doing? It's a good indicator. So Jesus replied, he said, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John," throws another relationship in there, "because my Father," another relationship term, "in heaven has revealed this to you, and you did not learn this from any human being." And now listen, he says, "I say to you that you are Peter, Petros, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, that doesn't mean he was Pope Peter the First. It doesn't mean that Jesus built his whole kingdom on a man. He didn't. He built his whole kingdom on this revelation of who he was. This is the rock. Everything I build in my kingdom is going to be on the foundation of you having a right relationship with me. You understanding truthfully who I am, and as revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can show you who Jesus is. If you want to know who Jesus is, ask Jesus. Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God, Heavenly Father, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him. I believe that I must have a relationship with him, that I must be transformed by the Spirit of God and the renewing of my mind and the Word of God, or I will never even be able to see the kingdom of heaven. And so, God, please bring me into relationship. You know, I'll tell you, it's amazing the problems that go away when you come into relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to tell people, "Hey, you need to tithe, you need to give. So, you know, we have a light bill that you enjoy every week." You don't have to tell people that because the Holy Spirit in them is a giver. You need to forgive so-and-so. You don't have to tell them that. You might have to remind them from time to time, but already the Holy Spirit is saying to them, you must forgive. You don't have to tell them to pray, because already the Holy Spirit is telling them to pray. You don't have to tell them to read the Bible, because there's a hunger for the Word of God that's birthed only by the Holy Spirit. And that only comes in relationship. If you want a relationship with God, go where God's going to be and do what God likes. Find yourself involved in what God is involved with, and most of the time, you're going to find that's people. God is above all things relational. You understand that, right? God didn't come down out of into a fallen creation out of a perfect heaven. Think about how beautiful heaven is. There's perfect order. There's no whining. There's no rebellion. There's no Department of Motor Vehicles. There's no politics. There's nothing bad in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place of peace and unity and grace and love. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. It's a great and wonderful place. There's no confusion and rebellion. It's nothing. God is in this place of perfect peace. He's surrounded by angels 24 hours a day who worship him for his attributes. He has a kingdom with streets of gold. He needs to leave there and come down here. Why? He needs to come down to a planet where his children rebelled against him and spit in his face, where there's pedophilia, where there's divorce, where there's drunkenness, where there's drug addiction, where there's corruption. He needs to come down into all this confusion and this mess. Why? To restore order in heaven? There is no loss of order in heaven. He came down here because he desired a relationship with you and I. And he was willing to put up with all the junk going on in the lives of broken human beings. He was willing to do that for the sake of what? Relationship. Not so he could set us straight doctrinally. Get the relationship right first. And then when you hear doctrine, you'll know doctrine. God came that we might have relationship with him. He is above all things relational. Well, I like to come to church, you know, and this is for the people on the podcast. I like to come to church, but you know, there's all those church people there. Yes, there is. And God could have just said the same thing about the earth. You know, I'd like to come down to earth and save your sorry behind, but there's just so much confusion down there, and there's so much sin and so much corruption and so much wickedness. I'll just stay up here. You know, part of how God causes us to grow as believers is he puts us in a community and he hides his kingdom behind his attributes. Did you know that? He hides his kingdom behind his character. And it all revolves around relationship. Consider these facts. We are beings created in relationship. We are created in the image of a triune God in relationship. Genesis, let us make man in our image. We were created in the image of a relationship. We were created for relationship. God created us in the image to be in his image, to be in relationship with himself. We are called the bride, children, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. Everywhere in the kingdom language is relationship. Let us make man. That's plurality. Where do you see a lot of I stuff? I will ascend my throne to the Most High, and I will be like the Most High God. Who's speaking there? Satan's speaking there. When you find yourself having a constant conversation in your mind, and you think it's just in your mind, but let me help you, all those voices in your head, Cupcake, are not your own. And when you're speaking to that thing that says, I deserve better than this from my spouse, and I need this need met, and I need that need. When you hear about three eyes in a row, that's a danger sign. You're probably not talking to an angel. You're probably talking to a demon. And that demon is getting you all puffed up. Why? You have the right to demand things in a relationship, that you have no right to love unconditionally, no expectation of love unconditionally, and that you're so right. Listen, two times you really need to humble yourself, get counsel, fast and pray. One, when you have no clue what to do, and two, when you just know exactly what you're going to do. That's the other time you better seek the Lord, because you're about to shoot yourself in the foot. You're about to shoot yourself in the foot. So God is relational. We were created in relationship. We were created for relationship. And listen, we continue to exist by relationship. Anybody you see in here, one thing is for sure. Before they were here, two or more gathered with a common purpose. I I don't care what you say. He made a male and female, and two or more gathered with a common purpose, and things just worked out. Now, God has called us. Listen, if you don't feel like God's, if you don't feel like relationship, this is what's so wonderful about relationship. Relationship always places a demand on us. Any relationship that doesn't place a demand on you is not a very important relationship, is it? If it doesn't place any demands on your life, what's the big deal? It's like a participation trophy. Okay, Johnny, you came today and you wore your pants. Here's your trophy. Well, I'm excited the little Johnny feels better about himself, but all the guys who really busted their hump, look at their trophy and it's the same as his trophy. Anyway, don't get me started. Next thing, I'll be wearing skinny jeans and carrying a teacup poodle around in a bag. All right, shoot me if that happens, please. If you love me, shoot me. Oh, my God. So in relationship, I ran a rabbit. I swore I wasn't going to run a rabbit today. In a relationship, God expects something of us. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Then point the person next to you and go, he means you. He said he sent you just like the Father sent him, right? So for the same reason Christ was sent, you were sent, to destroy the works of darkness and to establish the kingdom of God, right? Amen. Preach the gospel. Disciple people. Minister to the poor. There's a list of commands of Christ that God gave us. So if I feel like I have this compulsion on me, like Paul said, I am compelled, I am a debtor to all men. God forbid that I should not preach this gospel. We had an anniversary, the 20-year anniversary of the church planting, or was it 25? Might have been 25. And they invited all the pastors who had planted churches in Russia in the early 90s, and we went back and they had a big gathering. There was probably 500, 600, 700 people in this auditorium, and they brought us all down and they honored us, gave us a nice little glass, laser paperweight and everything for planting the church. And I told the guys, in the crowd, I said, first let me thank you, and I'm very honored that you did this, but let me tell you why I came. Because God helped me if I didn't come. God helped me if I resisted the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in Russia when God called me to do it. God's a hero. People are just people who follow heroes. I'm telling you, God's the greatest hero I ever had in my life. My dad's a close second. Pastor Keith, he's in the top 50. I know millions of people, Keith. That's no insult, you know? So when God compels us to bring the kingdom, he hides his kingdom behind relationship. No man showed you this. Why? Till you call on Jesus the Son, then the Holy Spirit revealed really who I was. It was a relationship that had to be revealed, and it was hidden. Okay, Matthew 16:19. It's a little further down. We were in Matthew just earlier. Now I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on the earth will be permitted in heaven. If you've heard the King James, I bind that in the name of Jesus. I bind. That's what they're talking about. Whatever is bound, whatever is forbidden, whatever is not permitted is not permitted. I don't want to zero in on that so much as I want to say this. He says, these are the keys. So what I want to draw, I want to just go back and say, from this statement, we can draw two immediate conclusions. One, the kingdom of heaven is hidden behind multiple locked doors. I will give you the key, not the key, the keys. There's more than one. So if there's more than one, there's multiple doors behind which you have to pass, or excuse me, through which you have to pass to discover the truth of the kingdom that is on the other side of that door. And the only thing that will open that door of kingdom into your life is that specific key. And two, it is necessary to operate in the kingdom keys given to us by Jesus to enter into and walk consistently in the kingdom. We can walk around the kingdom all our lives. I've been in the church for 50 years. Well, praise the Lord, that is a good thing. You're not in the bar, you're in the church. That's a good thing. But do you have 50 years experience in the kingdom of God, or do you have 1 year's experience 50 times? Have you stayed by the door? Jesus said, I am the doorway to the kingdom of God. You know, you could come here every Sunday and you could get out there and hang on to the door and stand out there and you might get a little bit of what's going on, but if you came in, you would get a lot more. So God said, there's a kingdom. I'm the doorway. Come to me, and it's my Father's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. I'll give you the keys, but you're going to have to walk in these keys. And all these keys deal with your character and your ability to operate in relationship. If you can't build a relationship, you cannot build a foundational entrance into the kingdom of God. That's how critical relationships are. Look at somebody who said, I didn't realize it was that important. The first of these keys in principle and relationship, and the first of the keys in these principles is relationship. Jesus said he wasn't showing up for the Lone Ranger. What does Matthew 18:20 say in LT? He said, for there are two or three gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. He wasn't coming for the Lone Ranger. If you have a plan and your plan isn't part of God's plan or it's not part of the corporate vision of the house, you will understand if neither I nor the Holy Spirit support it. Got awful quiet in here. Where two or more, two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. It is necessary that we be in relationship to unlock the keys. By requiring relationship, he requires us to operate in his nature to walk in his kingdom. What do you need? You need humility. That's a key in the kingdom. No man ever came into the kingdom without humility. No man ever just shook his fist at God and said, you're going to save me, buddy. No, he bowed a proud knee and he said, Jesus, you're the Lord of the universe. And just as I am, with nothing to offer in this equation but the mess that is my life, I ask you to take my life. I got saved in my living room on a Saturday night, drunk, thank God, no church people in sight to mess it up. And I cried out to God, I said, if you're the God you're supposed to be, you'll take me the way I am. Because I don't like Christians. They're a bunch of mealy mouths. I don't want nothing to do with them. But I also don't like myself. And I know this, I'm powerless to change. But if you're the God who you say you are, you'll take me the way I am. And if you're not, who needs God anyway? Not a very flowery prayer, but God heard my prayer and he took me. Say, thank God he took me. You think I'm a problem now. My God, if you would have known me then. I was not a nice person. Humility, faith, love, submission. Everybody say submission. Oh, that wasn't very enthusiastic. Sacrifice. Everybody say, yeah, sacrifice. Woo! Investment, service, honor, stewardship. All these principles are necessary to walk and to operate in the kingdom of God. And when you hang around in the Holy Spirit, he will humble you. He will speak to you. You know what you said was wrong? Someone came to me and apologized today. And I'm glad they did that. And I wasn't losing any sleep over it. But I'm glad that they did. Let me tell you why I'm glad they did it. Because I know the Holy Spirit told them to do that, and they obeyed the Holy Spirit. Guess what I know is coming into their life? The power of God. The power of God always follows submission and obedience, I'm telling you.
Well, I can't submit because I gotta be careful. Because I had this pastor once at this church that I know and another guy that I know that uh-oh. Got iritis again. Listen, I figured this out from going to places like North Korea and Russia in the early 90s. God's got my back. I'm a shepherd, not a sheriff. I'm not trying to figure out who's doing what. I'm not trying to figure out who's talking about this and who's talking about that unless they purport to be in leadership. God's got my back. I'm not worried. I'm safer in the will of God than I am anywhere on the planet out of the will of God. I could be crawling under my bed in a safe house someplace. I'm safer in the will of God. Kingdom relationships. Kingdom relationships, one of the obvious evidences that you're in a kingdom relationship is that you achieve exponential results. So what does that mean? So I went to public school. I said, I did too, but I looked it up. This is what it means. Where two or more Christians cooperate in something, it's called a non-linear equation. Aristotle said this. You remember? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Two is worth two, and two is worth two, but two plus two is worth eight. That's called a non-linear equation. Well, you got a scripture for that, Pastor? As a matter of fact, I do. I'm glad you asked. Our ability to affect change in the earth increases exponentially when we network, when we operate in relationship. Knowing that we can greatly increase our impact in the earth through cooperative relationship, how could we ever justify trying to go through this thing alone? We know that God requires two or more. We know what he says. Look at Deuteronomy 32:30. Or just don't look at it. Just stay there, unless you have Faith Life Bible, in which case it just popped up on your electronics for you. How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight unless their rocket sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? One would send 1,000 to flight. Two would send 10,000 to flight. Why in the world would you want to go it alone? You see, when you don't see the value of community, and I'm not talking about Cheyenne Social Club here. I'm talking about church community, the body, the living body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones. When you don't see a value of being in that kind of a relationship with Christ, it's obvious that you don't have the need for that exponential power in your life. When you know that God's going to ask you one day to give an account for the fruit of your life and the relationships in your life and things like that, then you desire to have the full force. Brother Rod used to call it the body punch. I've seen guys who they kind of float around. They're not really committed to one church. They have a quote-unquote, they have a ministry. Usually what they call a ministry is a gifting by which they're able to live. Because a ministry happens when a gift is submitted to authority. That's when a ministry happens. And it takes a five-fold ministry to produce a gift in the body of Christ and turn it into a ministry. Discipline and humility and diligence will produce a ministry out of a gift. A gift will change the day. A ministry will change a nation. When God breathes on something, he changes a nation. He's big. He's big. God's going to breathe on the Christian Leadership Academy, and it's going to appear back here in this field back here, and it's going to impact nations for generations. Why? Because when God does something, he does it generationally. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it takes three generations just to figure out who he is, to even begin to grasp the huge vastness of what it is he's doing in the earth. Say, big God. Big God. Thank you, Jesus. So, now, are all relationships good? How many people say no? How many people say yes? How many people didn't vote because they're not sure what the answer was? That should be about 80% of you. I just was counting, by the way. I didn't go to public school, but I'm not that bad. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this in the Lexham English Bible. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what participation is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? There's a place where you do not have fellowship. Now, understand what we're saying here and what we're not saying. I'm not saying that you don't have any relationship with anyone who's lost. Next thing you know, you're living out in the country somewhere driving a buggy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you don't have koinonia. When I've had a rough day, or I'm stressed out, or I just need to get away somewhere, and I just want to have some downtime, and I want to let my hair down, I'm not going to go grab a lost buddy and take him fishing. Not for that. I'll take a lost buddy fishing, but when I take a lost buddy fishing, it's for the sake of the gospel. I want to spend some quality time with him and lead him to the Lord. I'm glad to say Tim got saved last fishing trip we went on. So, no, I'm not going to call my lost buddy and tell him how discouraged I am. What does he have to speak into my life if he has no light? And I'm not going to bleed down. If I'm discouraged and I'm stressed out about something or I can't get my head right, how many people know it's dangerous in here? You should come in here. It's worse than a haunted house. So when I can't get my head right, I'm going to call Keith, or I'm going to call Brother Rod, or I'm going to call Anthony Markey. I'm going to call some older men of God that I trust and that I love and that I know me and that I know will get in my face if I need somebody to get in my face. I call them and I tell them, man, I'm struggling with this. My relationships are very carefully thought out. Not everybody belongs in your life. I'm just telling you. Look at the fruit of your relationship with someone. There's always an exchange and an influence, always. So look at the fruit of those relationships in your life and say, is it positive or is it negative? If it's negative, as Pastor Mike Mila used to say, leave them by the side of the road like a dead armadillo. Well, that's not very Christian. Yes, it is. Listen, I didn't get saved by hanging around with a bunch of people who made me feel like lost people were saved. Their lives were so obviously different from my own. That didn't mean I liked them or even agreed with them, but there was a difference. There was a contrast. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He wasn't a sinner. I'm going to stay there just a little bit. You need to understand, for a healthy relationship, you need to understand the difference between needs and purpose. Most people are in need-based relationships, and they fail. Before I go there, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Bad company corrupts good character. Ephesians 6:10 through 13. Listen to this. We know these scriptures, right? It's the armor of God. "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil." You do understand that the devil has strategies. And I promise you, he has a strategy for your life. And if you don't believe that, his first strategy has been remarkably successful. And if you're trying to do anything for God, if you're working on a campaign, if you're involved in pro-life, if you're an usher, if you're a deacon, if you're an intercessor, whatever you're doing, Satan has a plan to try to make you stop what you're doing. If you're married, he knows that if you have aught between you, your prayers are hindered. So what is Satan's number one job in a marriage? To constantly cause strife and disunity. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he's the accuser of the sistren too. He's constantly trying to break up unity. So he says, listen, you're going to have on the armor of God to stand, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Look at your wife and say, you're not the enemy. Look at your husband and say, you're not the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Before it ever happens in the natural, it's instigated in the spirit. Most people never deal with the sickness, they deal with the disease. They don't move the rotten flesh out of the way, they just swat and complain about the flies. When you enter into relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's a spiritual relationship. And the Holy Spirit will begin to expose the hearts of other people to you. When you're walking in the Holy Spirit, it's very hard for people to lie to you. Because when they lie, the Holy Spirit goes, eh. You just know. You discern. It's called discernment. And discernment comes to those who are submitted and committed to relationships. So it says, therefore, put on every piece of the armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil, and it's coming. And then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. And he goes on to describe the armor, the helmet of salvation. We'll do a series on that, not today. But look at what number, in Ephesians 6:15, he says, put on your shoes. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Your sandals is what separated you from the world. The biggest, what kind of piece of armor is a sandal? Okay, I mean it. I'm going to slap you with this. Put that sword down. Put it down. It separated you from any snares that were put out. Sometimes they would throw jagged stuff on the battlefield. You had to have your sandals on. It would allow you to take a grip. But it separated you from the world. How can one guy go out with a bunch of lost guys and minister to them, and another guy goes out and they minister to him? What was his purpose for him being in that relationship in the first place? That defines everything. Because if he's got on the gospel as his shoes, it's separating him from the world. He's there for one purpose, that they might know Christ, that he might serve them and see them come into the kingdom. And that's his protection from the world, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most people don't gather together around common purpose. They gather together around common need. They don't gather around common purpose. They gather around common need. Hey, you and I should go into business together. Why? Because I'm stupid and you got money. I can't get anybody to, I can't get any banks to loan me any money because I ain't got no money and I don't pay my bills, but you do. So if I can take your money and combine it with my stupidity, I can be in business. And most of the businesses end that way. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't go into business with a lost guy. Because you have different standards. You have different moral core values. Say praise the Lord. Need versus purpose. A healthy relationship is based on common purposes, not common needs. For example, take a marriage. It shouldn't complete us, but rather extend and expand us. Give the potential to be more fruitful in our wholeness. If we're approaching a relationship from a position of lack, we are poised to take and not to give, and it is never an even exchange. Healthy relationships occur when both parties are bringing complementary assets to the table based on common values, common beliefs, common practices, and a common purpose. A marriage relationship is all about giving. Biggest takeaway from the iMarriage, if you haven't been coming, it's never too late to start. God was not satisfied that you would have only the Scripture to comfort you. He sent the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he realizes it'd be nice to have a Holy Spirit with some skin on it that could hold your hand and speak to you in your life. And that's why God gave you a spouse. God put you with that man or with that woman to represent his love to them. I don't know about you, but I'm getting convicted. If I come into that marriage expecting all these things to be given to me, I'm not poised to give the love of God. I'm poised to take. And the problem is not the plurality of the relationship. It's the singularity. Well, I think I should have this, and I think I should have that, and I need this, and I and my, and I and my. You know, the best marriages that last the longest. Paul and I have made 34 years so far, which is pretty miraculous if you know how we got married. Justice of the Peace and bikers and a keg in my backyard in El Paso. But one thing united us stronger than anything that divided us, and that was the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We could duke it out during the day, and I don't mean physically duke it out. We could argue and argue and argue. But at the end of the day, we both knew this. Neither one of us was going to walk away from God. And therefore, at some point, we were both going to have to suck it up, cupcake, say, I'm sorry, and move on for the sake of the kingdom. And the sooner our marriage became about someone else and other people, the better it gets. And as long as we keep it focused there, the better it stays. It is hard to be depressed when you're serving others. I said it's hard to be depressed when you're serving other people. It's hard. Come on up, Josh. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, I don't want to get, this is not about money. That word is an ancient Chaldean word. I've shared this before. And it means confidence. Money represents confidence well because money answers all matters. Even when it shouldn't answer all matters, it answers all matters. We can buy our way out of things that we should have to character our way out of, for instance. But it all has to do with your relationship. How is your relationship with God? On what are you counting to get you through the day? Some of you are facing critical sicknesses. We need to pray for Kip. He's got an infection now where he had that surgery done. It could be very critical. We need to pray for his healing. He's facing some critical. Some of us are facing some tough medical reports and tough financial situations and tough relationship issues. Where's your confidence that this thing's going to work out? Is it in your ability to make something happen? Is it in your spouse's ability to make something happen? Most of the time, we give away all the power that we have by empowering others. Well, you know, if my wife would just do this, then I could do this. Welcome to the new Lord of your life. Well, you know, if the pastor would just, well, if the government would, if no, if you would just bow your knee, bring your stuff to God and say, look, this is it. I come to you with my whole heart, not a heart that's whole, but I'm bringing you my whole heart, junk in the trunk at all. And I'm saying, God, change me. Help me to be what I want to be, because your Bible, your word says that you work both to will and to do your good pleasure, that you will not only give me the ability to do the right thing, but if I ask you, you'll give me the desire to have the ability. I stood on that scripture for months, because when I got saved, nothing the church was doing looked at all interesting to me. I said, God, you got to do something in my heart. Give me a desire for godly things. You know what he did? He gave me a desire for godly things. And it's all because that relationship, my relationship with God, is poised on his, is based on his lordship. We have a common purpose. His good pleasure, the glory of God, the advancement of the kingdom, the winning of the lost, the discipleship of the saved, the ministry of the poor, the deliverance to those who are downtrodden, the rescue to those who are unjustly called to death. We have a common purpose for which we live together, the Holy Spirit, my wife and I, and I hope you. Because when we all come into unity, the Bible said this of lost people, that look, they're all of one mind. What will be impossible for them in the Tower of Babel? What? Look around you. Look at how many people we have. What would be impossible for Living Hope Fellowship were we to come into a Christ-based, Lordship of Jesus-based relationship, come into unity with the mind of Christ, hear from heaven, and then say, okay, God, we're all in. We're throwing our hat over the wall. This is what we're going to do in Jesus' name. And we will, and then the violent will take heaven by force. Not forcing God to do something he doesn't want to do. But we will violently press through. You know, there's a song called It's in the Waiting. I should have had it queued up. It's a great worship song. When we're praying, we're not praying to try to talk God into something. It's not like a rain dance. Please send revival. Please send revival. Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya. All that pushing and pressing is turning all our affections into one direction, and it's developing us to receive what God has already promised he's going to do. The character that has to be developed. My character is what frightens me. I want to have excellent character. My character is the vessel that contains all my giftings. If I crack my character, I lose everything. It's tough. This is what the enemy's always after me for compromise. He wants me to compromise a core conviction. And he says, if I'll do that, see, if you'll just, when you teach on giving, if you'll just put a little pressure on them, put a little pressure on them to give. If you're teaching on salvation, if you'll just scare the hell out of them a little bit, I think hell should scare you. But if you'll just do a few of these little tricks I'll show you, if you'll just bow down and worship me, all this will be yours. Compromise a little bit. Not, no. No. God is coming to Living Hope Fellowship. God is not here. Yes, God is here. But God is coming in manifested presence and glory to Living Hope Fellowship.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.